Nuketown Radioactive, number 25, for Monday, January 30th, 2006. Folks, welcome to Radioactive number 25. I'm your host, Ken Newquist. It's been a pretty quiet week around here. You might notice I'm kind of getting over a cold. Actually, the reason why it's been a quiet week is because everybody's been so sick. Sue's had a sinus infection, Jordan's had a bit touch of something, and I got some sort of really kind of nasty little cold that fortunately only lasted a day or two, but you know, it's one of those things that just kind of knocks you for a loop. And let me tell you, folks, when you're a parent and both you and your wife are sick, it is just not a pleasant time, especially when you got a three-year-old who just doesn't really understand what the whole sick thing is about. It doesn't really understand how she really needs to kind of scale it back a little bit. Three-year-olds, in my experience, just don't get the whole scaling back thing. On the Nuketown front, things are proceeding fairly well, and actually, I needed to ask you all for some help. Last time around, I was talking about the new version of Nuketown that I've been just kind of hammering at for the last couple of weeks, and I'm actually to the point where I need some help with testing it. And that's where you users come in. I would really appreciate it if some of you, and I'll be posting to Nuketown about this as well, could volunteer to help me test things out. Basically, what I'm looking for is a couple of people who can log into the new site, leave a couple of comments, post to the forums, generally kind of knock the tires on the site. Let me know if there's any things that you find difficult to use, and just generally give me your impressions of what you think of the new site. If you're interested in helping out, drop me an email at nuketown@gmail.com. So, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you may notice something different. That would be an introductory song. I don't actually know what you call this, an introductory track. I wouldn't quite call it a theme song yet, but it's a cool little intro. I decided with number 25 that I was going to try and shift gears a little bit with Radioactive and try and spend a little bit more time on post-production, pre-production, actually pretty much just production in general, to just try and refine the show a little bit. I don't want to get hyper-professional here, but I would like to kind of polish off, you know, put a nice layer of polish on it, sand off some of the rough edges, you know, all those other little cliches. So that brings about, I've been looking, as folks know, for some good music that I can use on the show for a very long time, and I finally stumbled across one by Dennis Kitchen. This track that's playing in the background right now is called Groove It, and I'm really liking it. I've got a link to it in the show notes, so at this point I'm just trying to figure out exactly how you go about incorporating it into Audacity to record as I'm recording the podcast. So, you know, I'm interested to hear what you folks have to say. You know, if you like it, you don't like it, let me know. If you're wondering where I actually found this track, it was on podshow.com, music.podshow.com, where I have been spending the last few weeks just slowly trying to go through all the clips and finding something that I would like. And thus, I found this. So, many thanks to Dennis for making this available for all of us podcasters via Podshow. And, you know, if you guys end up liking the track, I'll contact him about seeing if we can incorporate it into the show on a more ongoing basis.
Who are you?
Silence, Earthling!
My name is Darth Vader. I am an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan.
I'm a sci-fi geek. I've always considered myself a sci-fi geek. It's how I grew up. It's where I first really found my true love of geekdom, if you will. Star Wars, Star Trek, Space 1999, although I only vaguely remember watching that one on the black and white TV in my parents' kitchen. Sci-fi has just really been a huge part of my life, and yet, over the last couple of years, I've come to the realization that I've been spending almost all of my time reading exclusively fantasy titles, namely Robert Jordan and George R. R. Martin, and I think this is mostly, well, this is because of two reasons. First, while I was commuting to my old job and spending 2 hours a day on the road, I would listen to audiobooks from Audible.com. And their science fiction and fantasy sections fell heavily, very heavily, on the fantasy side. And this is partly because of a conscious effort on my part, because I felt I needed to expand my fantasy education. Having grown up reading Heinlein and Asimov, I didn't really have a good grasp of what lived on the fantasy side of the bookshelf. And I thought that it would help me, both as a fan and as a professional, as I'm writing reviews, looking for websites, and that sort of thing, to be able to have a better depth, a better understanding of fantasy. But then again, there was also the fact that, well, for the last couple of years, sci-fi's kind of sucked. Yes, we had Battlestar Galactica, and yes, we've got Firefly, but for the most part, we haven't seen a lot of really good science fiction on TV. And, you know, a lot of the science fiction that we do get, well, let's put it this way, folks, when I'm looking at science fiction, what I want, there's a couple of things that I want. I want to certainly view alternative worlds, explore, you know, different challenging ideas, different philosophical systems, different what-if scenarios, to see how things might play out. But I ultimately, fundamentally, want to be inspired. I want to be awed. I want to see those new worlds. I want to experience those new worlds. And Star Trek and Star Wars really just weren't doing it for me anymore. And even even in the fiction realm, from the late 90s into the early aughts, you know, a lot of the science fiction that I was reading in the mainstream was just like this transhuman, post-human apocalypse. We had all transcended our mortal coils and ascended into computerized form to join the galactic overmind. And, you know, where's the fun in that? I want to walk on the sands of Mars. I want to plunge through the rings of Saturn. I want all that kind of stuff. I want to explore the deepest the deepest realms of a nebula. I want to watch a new world evolve. I want all those kinds of things. And frankly, I just wasn't getting it, at least not in science fiction. I was getting it in fantasy, but, you know, you can only get so much of that. There's only so much magic that I want. Some days I just want to come back to, well, something more resembling our reality. Now, I've been itching to get back into science fiction for the last couple of months. And one of the reasons for that was I was reading John Sclousy's, and I'm probably massacring his, I'm probably massacring his last name, but anyway, he's a science fiction writer who's got a blog called Whatever. And he wrote his first fiction book, was called Old Man's, which in reading his blog and hearing him talk about it, seemed like it was my kind of book. Heavily inspired by Heinlein, lots of good hard science fiction in there with just a little bit of space opera mixed in. And, you know, the more I was reading the blog, the more I was itching to read this book. And then I read the book, and I'm like, wow, I'm back. I'm loving science fiction again. But the challenge now is finding my kind of science fiction. For the last, probably 2 years or so, I've had a book on my shelf called The Hard Science Fiction Renaissance. It's a really hefty book. It's got a lot of different authors in it. But unfortunately, the first two stories in it kind of dealt with this whole human computerized consciousness, let's all subsume ourselves to the collective overmind, which, you know, if you know anything about me, being the somewhat individualist libertarian type guy I am, I just really didn't go for that. But with Old Man's War under my belt and hungering for more science fiction, I picked up the book and I started paging through the anthology. And I got past those stories, and I gotta say, I'm loving it. There's some really good books in there, really good short stories in there, and I'll get into more detail on those in the near future. There's the usual suspects, Kim Stanley Robinson, Ben Bova, and there's a couple of folks I haven't read before. And I think, you know, probably maybe in the next podcast or the podcast after that, I'll be doing a more in-depth review of it. But I'm hungry for more. I've got a bunch of science fiction novels I haven't read yet. I've got a couple of science fiction novels sitting on my shelf that I've accumulated over the last few years, but never really got motivated to read. One is Neal Stephenson's Quicksilver, which isn't exactly science fiction, but it's in that vein. And I've got Michael Flynn's, I think it's Lodestar, which is the third book in his, I guess it's Falling Star series, which is hard science fiction, but in this book takes somewhat more of a downer turn, or at least in the early pages. And I think I started reading that not long after Jordan was born, and I just wasn't in the mood for that kind of fiction. But, like I say, now is the time for me to get back into hard science fiction. But I'm looking for others. So, if you've got some, let me know. I'm looking for modern science fiction with a hard SF approach. I'm thinking early Heinlein, Clark, Asimov, Bova, Brin. If you have any suggestions, please send them to me. The email address, as always, is nuketown@gmail.com.
This show is part of the Out of This World Entertainment on the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, tsfpn.com.
I've had quite a bit of time to be listening to podcasts and such over the last few weeks, and I found a couple of new ones. The first one I want to talk about is Roll 2D6. It's a great podcast. It's a gaming podcast that focuses on all manner of tabletop gaming, usually board, war, card games, but occasionally venturing into role-playing games. Show topics have included the top 7 most influential games in terms of, actually, the host says, not necessarily the world's most influential games. Explaining gaming to non-gamers, which I thought was just an excellent topic because I know it's certainly something that's come up for me a lot. You know, people tend to think of the word gaming in one of two ways. Either video games, which of course everyone knows that only 12-year-olds play, and poker, which everyone knows only people with gambling habits play. So when you try and explain the fact that you're still playing Dungeons & Dragons 20 years after people may have last heard of Dungeons & Dragons, or when you try and explain that there are board games that are more complicated than Monopoly, people kind of give you that weird look. Well, In two shows in this podcast, they explain how to deal with that. And I thought it was a good topic. Another show was dedicated to Starship Battles, which was a rundown of a couple different space combat systems. And yet another show was given over to gaming advocacy. Shows average about an hour. As I record this, there are 6 shows, and I'm eagerly awaiting the 7th. They usually give their explanation as the next show is going to be in 2D6 plus some large number of days. So they're not necessarily coming out on the most regular schedule, but so far, I've been enjoying all of them, so I wholeheartedly recommend the podcast, which you can check out at, and if I were a little bit more prepared, I'd have the URL just right in front of me. Here we go, www.roll2d6.com. The next podcast I want to talk about is Does My Geek Look Big in This?, which you can find at www.doesmygeek.com. It's a general interest geek cast discussing gaming, movies, books, and beer. It's done with a man and woman team, which is cool. It definitely mixes up the whole co-host. I'm not exactly sure what word I'm looking for here, but it provides a little bit more variety. There's there's a couple of shows out there, including Roll 2D6, that are basically just two guys talking about geek stuff. And it's cool to get some different perspectives that a show like this provides. I've only listened to show number 6. I've got the earlier 5 episodes queued up and ready to go. But so far, I'm liking it. I mean, really, any show that can combine gaming, movies, books, and beer, you know I'm going to listen to it. Next podcast I want to talk about is it deals with one of my latest addictions, which is Legos. I can't really tell you why I've gotten off on Legos so much the last couple of weeks, but for some reason I've just really been interested in building them. And I've been going out and buying some of the Star Wars Lego kits. And as a result, I decided that, hey, you know what? I'll go see what sort of sci-fi Lego stuff might be out there. Turns out, I'm not the only one with this obsession. And this is what I love about the internet, folks. There is nothing so obscure that it can't have its own website and or podcast. The podcast I'm talking about is Brick Nebula, which is all about Legos and science fiction. The hosts review the latest Star Wars kits from Lego. They talk about movies. They talk about the other sci-fi-ish type brick things that are out there. They talk about different Lego sites. It's very niche. If you're not into Legos, I don't know if you're going to like it that much, but, you know, it's definitely, if you're into the Star Wars Legos, as I have become, it's definitely worth a listen. Now, a couple of other just kind of, like, show notes. Yogg-Sothoth Radio is up at episode number 7. You can find it at yogg-sothoth.com, and this episode features an interview with Sandy Peterson, author of Call of Cthulhu. Something I've been playing a lot with for the last couple of weeks, aside from Legos, is a web browser called Flock. Flock is based on Firefox and Mozilla and all that open source browser framework, but it's a social browser. And what I mean by a social browser is it's got hooks into all of the whole Web 2.0 type web services, such as Delicious, Flickr, and the various blogging platforms. Although, in my experience, it doesn't really work all that great with Flogger. It's cool. It's very geeky. It's also very beta. And as the whole blog thing shows, not everything's working just yet. It's only at the 0.5 release, but I'm enjoying it. I also, within the last couple of weeks, set up an account on Delicious. And if, for those of you who don't know what Delicious is, you can find it at http://del.icio.us. And basically, this is a huge bookmark site. People log into the site, they post their bookmarks here, and basically the idea being that you post your bookmarks here, and then it helps you find other sites based on what you've got bookmarked. It's a cool little service. I'm liking it. And I'll have a link to my own Delicious account in the show notes. And I think what I'm liking most about this is that it provides me with a way of sharing my bookmarks both with my coworkers and my friends, but also across different platforms. So for a while I've been using Safari, the web browser for the Macintosh, to do this by syncing up my bookmarks between the various Macs I own. But this is better because it allows me to see how my interests overlap with other people's interests, which in turn help me find more links, which when I'm doing columns for Nights at the Dinner Table on, you know, various gaming web links, comes in pretty damn handy. It's also useful when I'm trying to, you know, debug something in PHP or MySQL, because something I may have bookmarked someone else may have done something, someone else who bookmarked that may have found a resource that I will find useful. So all in all, I'm really liking it, and I definitely recommend that folks try out the browser. You can find it at www.flock.com.
All right, sweethearts, what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps. Day in the Marine Corps is like a day on the farm. Every meal is a banquet. Every paycheck a fortune. Every formation of parade. I love the Corps!
So earlier in the podcast, I mentioned John Scalzi's first book, Old Man's War. And now I want to give you a more in-depth look at it. You know, actually kind of sit down and review it. Book's published by Tor Books in 2005. It's 325 pages. I'll have a link in the show notes to the where you can buy it on Amazon. And like I said, I really enjoyed this book, and it kind of really got me jazzed about sci-fi again. And I don't know if I can give it any higher praise than that. It's not a perfect book, but it's a hell of a fun read. Basically, the setup is this. In the future, humanity is at war. Its colonies are constantly under attack by hordes of different alien races, and all that stands between Earth and destruction is the Colonial Defense Corps, or the Colonial Defense Force, which staffs its interstellar army using nothing but 75-year-olds. Now, John Perry is one of these recruits. He joins up with a bunch of other geriatrics, and is pleasantly surprised when his old body isn't just upgraded, it's ditched completely in favor of a new fast-grown clone enhanced with all manner of terrestrial and alien biotechs. Now, I'm not giving away anything huge in doing this. I mean, I think the book jacket tells you as much. And that's basically the setup for the book. What happens next is something that's really reminiscent of Starship Troopers, but without the philosophizing. Also, I should say, Robert Heinlein's Starship Troopers, not the nice-looking, but ultimately abomination that is Starship Troopers, the movie. That is based on geriatrics. You know, you're 75, you've lived your life, you've had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, you've read the great books, you've had the great loves, you've had the family, you've had your successes and your failures, and you've retired. And, you know, maybe you've lost some friends along the way. And now here comes this opportunity to be young again, but at the cost of fighting in an interstellar war. It's very much a book of, you know, meet strange new alien races and kill them. But, you know, that's okay, because he puts it together in a really fun, enjoyable way. that doesn't quite sound right. Yes, it's fun to go out and kill other sentient life forms. But what I'm trying to say is that he makes it seem plausible. You know, it's the hostile universe that he portrays is something more along the lines of, say, David Brin's Uplift universe, where humanity is just, we're just one among many, and there's a whole bunch of people out there who are ready and willing to kick our ass. So we breed some really tough humans to go and deal with the problem. Now, I think Scalzi, and this was actually kind of what surprised me, because from having read his blog, Whatever, which I think it's at www.whatever.com, but I'll double-check that. Actually, I think it's scalzi.com/whatever, but one way or another, you know, of course, the links will be in the show notes. He does occasionally suffer from that science fiction author tendency to explain a cool new technology, in this case the skip drive, and then, oh, what do you know, in the very next chapter, that explanation comes in handy because it's now part of a major plot point. And I think the reason why that that sticks out more in this book is just because it is a fairly short book. It's 320 pages. You know, he doesn't necessarily have a lot of places where he can stick in that explanation and then come back to it 50 or 100 pages later on. I would have liked for at least a chapter, though. And, you know, he does this one or two other times. There's a couple of times where things are just a little bit too coincidental for my liking, like when John Perry's drill sergeant just happens to have had a life-altering experience because of something that the main character had done. It's just a little bit too coincidental for my taste. But you know what? I don't care because this was such a freaking fun book to read. You know, I think it comes back to the whole clones thing. I mean, I'm old enough. I'm 34 now, which, you know, really isn't all that old. But, you know, when you start hitting... I've read it before. Other people have said it. And when you start hitting your mid-30s, you know, things start to kind of... Well, they're not breaking, but you might get a little sore after taking that walk or that run, or, you know, all of a sudden you pick up the baby and, wow, your back really kind of hurt, and, wow, how the heck did you do that, you know? So, while I am definitely not at the state I will be when I am 75 or 80 or whatever, you know, I can start to appreciate the whole, you know, I wouldn't really mind being 20 again and having that body to deal with, having two kids, or having one kid and one on the way, rather than, say, having the 34-year-old edition, which is still pretty good, but got a little bit of mileage on it. I really enjoyed the exploration of the Eldsters as they get into these new bodies and suddenly, you know, are able to do things, everything, that they necessarily haven't done for a couple of decades. Just the relationships that evolve. It's just a fun read. It's definitely the sort of thing that's great for recharging your sci-fi batteries, and mine were certainly desperately in need of that. So overall, I give it a rating of 9 out of 10. I recommend you pick it up. You won't regret it. So folks, that's Radioactive number 25. I'd really like to know what you thought of the new and improved, revised, edited, musical edition of Radioactive. I think we had about 50% less ooms and breathing sounds, so I think at least me going through and re-listening to it, I liked it better. But I'd like to know what you think, so send me feedback at nuketown@gmail.com. As always, we have forums. You can go to www.nuketown.com/forum or to tsfpn.com and follow the forum link there. I'll admit I haven't been all that great about posting to the forums, but I will attempt to do that after this show. That's about it for now, folks. Next time around, I'm trying to edit together a show revolving around the Narnia soundtrack, because I really enjoyed it, and that long-promised, oft-delayed review of Rendezvous with Rama, which kind of goes back into my whole science fiction renaissance thing that I'm experiencing right now. But that's it for now, so until next time, well, I'll be seeing you.